blood first clotted. The scanner would print out its results on a series of block outlines on which were patterns of dots in the shape of a human body. He set the computer printing program and then exposed a rhesus monkey to air containing the lethal microorganism. Immediately, the printout began to clatter out from the computer. The graphic printout told him what he needed to know, that clotting began in the lungs and spread outward through the rest of the body. But there was an additional piece of information gained. Burton later said, "It seemed impossible to me that death could occur in 3 seconds, but it seemed even more unlikely that the total blood volume of the body, 5 quarts, could solidify in so short a period. I was curious to know whether a single crucial clot might form in the brain, perhaps, and that the rest of the body clot at a slower pace." Burton was thinking of the brain, even at this early stage of his investigation. In retrospect, it is frustrating that he did not follow this line of inquiry to its logical conclusion. He was prevented from doing this by the evidence of the scans, which told him that clotting began in the lungs and progressed up the carotid arteries to the brain 1 or 2 seconds later. So Burton lost immediate interest in the brain. His mistake was compounded by his next experiment. It was a simple test, not part of the regular wildfire protocol. Burton knew that death coincided with blood clotting. If clotting could be prevented, could death be avoided? He took several rats and injected them with heparin, an anticoagulating drug preventing blood clot formation. Then he exposed the rats to air containing the lethal organism. The first rat with a low dose died in 5 seconds. The others followed within a minute. A single rat with a massive dose lived nearly 3 minutes, but he also succumbed in the end. Burton was depressed by the results. Although death was delayed, it was not prevented. The method of symptomatic treatment did not work. He put the dead rats to one side, then made his crucial mistake. Burton did not autopsy the anticoagulated rats. Instead, he turned his attention to the original autopsy specimens, the first black Norway rat and the first rhesus monkey to be exposed to the capsule. To gross inspection, the animals had died of total intravascular coagulation. The arteries, the heart, lungs, kidneys, liver, and spleen, all the blood-containing organs were rock-hard solid. This was what he had expected. Burton shook his head. Anticoagulants might not work, but the fact was that something stopped the process. There was a way that it could be done. He knew that, because 2 people had survived. At 11:47 hours, Mark Hall was bent over the computer, staring at the console that showed the laboratory results from his examination of Peter Jackson and the infant. The infant, Hall observed, was normal. However, Peter Jackson was another problem entirely. Jackson had been anemic for some time. He showed immature red cell forms, which meant that his body was struggling to replace lost blood, and so had to put young, immature red cells into circulation. The tests also indicated that while Jackson was bleeding from somewhere in his gastrointestinal tract, he had no primary bleeding problem. His blood clotted normally. The pH of the blood was a bit of a puzzle. At 7.31, it was too acid, though not strikingly so. Hall was at a loss to explain this, so was the computer.